Welcome to episode 114 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on 7/21/09. I am your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join live in our chat room to participate with our other wonderful listeners, and that can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. If you're listening to this later and have a question or comment, call our voicemail line at 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. Daryl, welcome back. It's a new week. We're on to episode 114. What have you been up to?
Well, we had a busy weekend, a lot of fun, mostly with photography this time, but did get out Saturday before the worldwide photo walk hosted by Scott Kelby, or organized, I should probably say, by Scott Kelby of Photoshop fame. But we did get out and do some virtual caches, a couple of Earth caches, a couple of traditionals. One of those was really cool, and I posted a little bit of a video about that one. Didn't want to post which cache that was, though, because it would be a really good spoiler, but it was a really great container. And oddly enough, in the description said they won the container. So, you know, that's the kind of container I'd like to win, is one that's really, really creative like that. But we did have a blast on the photo walk Saturday. I did post about 7 photos. Unfortunately, it wasn't as subject rich as we really probably would have liked, so we didn't get a whole lot of images. Sunday, though, we went out to Durand for the arrival of the Southern Pacific 4449 steam locomotive, and that we shot a whole bunch of pictures, not all of the locomotive. In fact, most of the photos were not of the locomotive, but you know, we had a good time with some of our regular friends that we go shooting with, and had some interesting muggle experiences, if you will. A couple of interesting run-ins, including a 6-year-old kid who really, really, really was enamored with the cameras and had to play with our cameras, and it was just fun, and especially watching his mom kind of freak out as he touches these really big, expensive cameras. What have you been up to, Andy?
Well, that sounds like a cool thing, and you know what? For him to be able to get hands-on experience with that, I mean, that's something he's going to remember a lifetime.
Yeah, hopefully he'll turn into a nice appreciative photographer in the future, but it was just kind of funny to watch him work.
Yeah, well, we went camping this last weekend, kind of. We were at like a youth camp type of thing. My sister-in-law works at this camp in Southern Indiana, or Central Indiana, and so we went to there and kind of hung out. I was on a zip line. My wife had never been on this zip line before, actually on a zip line before, so took her on this zip line and tried to climb up a couple of rock walls, and this time I failed. It was actually really frustrating because I couldn't get up the climbing walls, but you know, you live, you learn, you grow from the experience. However, I did find out that I get to go to Midwest Geobash this weekend, so that ought to be a lot of fun. My wife's sister's boyfriend kind of spoiled the surprise that they were planning for us for my birthday, but that's okay. My wife didn't really care. So I've really just been doing a lot of prepping for the Midwest Geobash, been running a lot of pocket queries and trying to get everything ready to go for the Midwest Geobash. So anyone that's going to be there, hopefully we can hook up and you know, talk a little bit. So really, I've just been spending a lot of time getting that ready to go to the Geobash.
Well, happy birthday in advance, because I know next week we're not going to have a live show, so I can't wish it to you then.
That is true. Next Tuesday is actually my birthday, so we are not going to be doing a live show, but we will be releasing some audio that we had from our caching run, me and you and the Bad Cops, so be looking for that.
Yeah, that was such fun.
It was. Now, speaking of the Bad Cop, let's go ahead and hear the geocaching question of the week.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad Cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope my little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Recently, I asked the question, have you ever had to use a boat or scuba gear to find a geocache? 28 people answered that they have used a boat, 24 people said they have not used a boat or scuba gear, and 14 people said they have plans to use a boat in the near future. Oddly enough, I didn't get one positive reply about using scuba gear. I know there are a couple of scuba caches near me, so there must be more across the country. What about you? Have you ever had to use a boat or scuba gear to find a cache? Let me know. Want to find out more? Follow me, The Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, thanks, The Bad Cop. Daryl, there have been some news that was actually just announced at the outdoor retail this week. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Magellan actually announced outdoor retailer Summer Market that they're releasing new software for the Triton Series GPSRs. According to the press release, the Triton Series features many new improvements, including North American base maps that provide more roads, more detailed locations, and better map displays. Additional enhancements include better communication between the user's PC and GPS unit, the ability to customize the user experience and gain quicker access to various features with a single click of the Enter key. General system settings are now more accessible on the Settings menu. The ability to turn various pages on and off, and a new elevation and coordinate entry system that makes it easier to add or modify values using the keypad. This is a free upgrade for Triton users and is available at magellangps.com, and we'll have a link in the show notes to that press release.
Well, before we get into our topic for tonight, the Bad Cop actually was at a event recently that kind of links with our topic tonight. So let's go ahead and hear some of the interviews that he got from that event.
I was recently at the event GC1RYFH. Hey man, only 365 days until GW8, and interviewed several of the participants. As way of introduction, the Cows, or Cashers of Washington's Wet Side, are the host group for this upcoming mega event. Now, let's listen to some of these cashers. This is Bad Cop once again, and I'm here with the Geocacher Three Bottles. Can you tell me what you've done for the upcoming Geo Woodstock 8?
I've been working on the actual event webpage, not the geocaching.com page, but the actual webpage that supports the entire event.
And you have to give us the address of that webpage.
It is at www.geowoodstock.com. It's Geo Woodstock 7 was there, and they've moved the domain over to us, so now that it's for Geo Woodstock 8.
Thank you. I'm back with Flute Face. And Flute Face, can you tell me why you're excited about Geo Woodstock 8?
Well, I'm certainly delighted that it's coming to our area. I'm very excited about being able to help and make it a success for the Cows, of which I consider myself a member. And I think I'm also very excited to have people coming to our area to enjoy the beauty that we've got here. And certainly there's, you know, the trifecta of caching here as well.
Thank you very much. This is The Bad Cop, and I'm with geocacher JT6Days. Can you tell me what you're excited about for Geo Woodstock 8?
Well, since I'm new to geocaching, only been doing it a few months, I am really excited to get to know more people and get to interact with more and learn some of their geocaching seminars they're going to do. I find really good because some of my hides are not very good.
You know, we can all claim that one.
Yeah, I got too many small ones. I need some big ones. And not so many brambles, berry bushes.
Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you.
And I'm back with K7 Wave. Can you tell me what you're excited about for the upcoming Geo Woodstock 8?
Well, mostly I'm excited about the many different people that will be coming to our region for the first time. We have a lot to offer up here. We have Groundspeak headquarters, we have the Ape Cache, and we have the original stash down in Portland a couple hours away. And I think a lot of the people I talked to in Tennessee, I was an attendee at Geo Woodstock 7, were especially hoping that Seattle won the bid so they could come out here and get those rare caches and those icons they can only get up here. I'm really excited about meeting people from all over the country. I'm going to volunteer for the event and help out as much as I can. And I think it'll be a good thing for the sport to have Seattle host Geo Woodstock 8. Looking forward to all the people coming up here.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I'm with the geocacher baddog_777. Can you tell me what you're excited about with the upcoming Geo Woodstock 8?
Well, of course, first thing I would think about is just being part of a mega event. I haven't been part of a mega event, so this would be a first, and I'd like to get that under my belt.
Very cool. Thank you much. And I'm back, this time with Tree from Three Bottles. Can you tell me a little bit why you're excited about Geo Woodstock 8?
Well, not to alienate the rest of the caching world, but being a native Washingtonian, I am more than ecstatic about having it in our state. We have the most incredible state in this country, and so for the rest of the country to come and visit, for the rest of the world to come and visit, it's just... So it really comes down to just having this opportunity to show off the state, having people come visit the Earth Cache, Groundspeak headquarters, Originals Dash Cache. So yeah, being able to do the trifecta. So anyway, we'll see you all in July of 2010.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, the Bad Cop, for getting those interviews from the event that you were at. We'll bring Trouble JV in a few seconds here, and to talk with us a little bit about Geo Woodstock that's being held in Washington State this coming July 3rd. The waypoint, if you're looking for it, is GC1QM7K, but you'll also want to check out their website at geowoodstock.com. So if you have a question, please hit the request to talk or type it into the chat room, and we'll pass it along to Trouble JV. Welcome to the podcast, Trouble JV. Who exactly are the cows?
Thank you for having me, first of all. The cows are a group of energetic cachers here in Western Washington that got together and said, we want to bring Woodstock here. And that's what our whole goal was to start off with, was just to bring Geo Woodstock to the Seattle area.
Now, I know your title is actually the head cow. How did that come about?
Well, it's probably because I was the one who started the bandwagon, if you want to call it, of bringing Geo Woodstock here. I, you know, was looking around to people to try and help me bring it here because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. It's much too big for just one person. And I asked people who I knew who could help me put this event together and pull it off and make it be the best event we could do. And that's how I became the head.
Now, how was it that Washington was selected as the location for GW8?
We had to put together a proposal that we did, and we submitted it in late winter to the committee that decides where the location goes, where the next Geo Woodstock goes. And they then look over the proposals, and it is decided among the past hosts of the Geo Woodstocks decide where the future Geo Woodstock is going to be.
So that's something that you guys will get to do next year, is pick where the following year will be at?
One person from our team will be elected, asked to be the representation for that, so that we, not all, there's eight of us as that are part of this head cow group, and one person out of that group will be our voting member.
Okay, and can you give us an idea of what sort of things they look for in a location when they decided to pick on it? Like, what were some of the things that you said, hey, this is why it'd be good for us to have it here?
For us in particular, having the trifecta right here was one of our biggest selling points. Also having the possibility of people getting another country. They can go to Canada if they bring their passports, which is only, you know, you can get there in 2.5 to 3 hours. And that's another great selling point that we have. There's just a great range of terrain here, everything from the urbans to the mountains. If you go on the other side of the Cascade Mountains, you're in the desert. Is all relatively close and much less than a day drive. It's about a half a day drive to any of those locations. You can do water caches on canoes or boats here. You can go on a 10-mile hike and find a cache here, or find an urban one.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a great location for any event, let alone a big mega event like this. But can you talk about some of the challenges in planning the event, both pre-planning for that proposal and now that you're actually into it?
The pre-planning for the proposal was mainly for us was trying to make it not so wordy. We did a PowerPoint presentation for them, and we seemed to like to talk a lot. And we were putting that out on the PowerPoint presentation, and we really had to make our sentences be short and sweet, which is hard for us because we like to elaborate. On the planning for the event, trying to figure out, number one, where to put somewhere in the vicinity of 5,000. That's what they're telling me. The numbers will be about 5,000 people. That's just a lot of people. And then to make sure that we have activities and things going on that'll entertain everyone from a child to an older, you know, to an older adult, and make it so that everyone's happy as best that we can.
Now, once you won the bid, what was one of the first things that you guys needed to take care of when planning this event? Like, what was one of the very first things that you guys did once you guys heard that you won the bid?
We had to, actually, before we even won the bid, we had to scout out locations, potential locations for where we could hold this and would be able to hold this many people. And basically narrow it down to one location and verify that they were available on the date that we were wanting to have the Geo Woodstock come, and kind of say, hold this for us, but we can't give you any money because we don't know for sure we're getting it. And that was a big negotiating thing. And as soon as we got that, getting them a deposit money down so that we knew for sure that was our spot, no one could take it away from us. That was our biggest project.
Yeah, that is a big project. Where does that deposit money come from, if I might ask?
It came from a garage sale. It came from donations. Pretty much that's where the money came from. Was we had a garage sale here at my home, and the eight of us, the four couples that are the head herd, we gathered all of our extra stuff together and had a garage sale, raised more than half the money that we needed, and the rest of the money we were able to get when we would have donations available for people to, you know, if they wanted to just help out. We have cow piggy banks that we would have at events, and people would put money in them for us.
So basically, whoever the bidder is has to secure the deposit funds themselves.
Yes. So I was going to say, there really isn't, at least nothing has come to us as rollover money. We had to start from scratch.
And what are some of the surprises that you've run into so far, if I could ask that?
I don't know if they've been surprises, because we've been trying to keep our eyes as much open as we can and not necessarily stick our heads in the sand about anything. You know, one of our biggest projects was right after securing the location was building our website, the geowoodstock.com website, so that we could get that information out to everybody. They want the hotel information now. They want to know what's going on, and we needed to get that created quickly. And that was probably the next biggest obstacle that we had.
Now, was there any information that was passed down from the previous hosts to you, or was it just kind of like, here you go, plan away? Like, did they give you any hints or information, or no?
They've given us some information. They've helped us figure out percentages of attendees, of what levels they're coming in at purchasing, or, you know, are they coming in at free, or whatever else is like that. So that kind of helps us figure out our budgeting of, okay, if they had this many people come in at their highest level, we can figure that we'll get that percentage also. So we can kind of figure out how much money we will generate to help pay for this event. Okay. I was going to say, that's probably the best piece of information that we've been able to get from them.
Yeah, very important information to have, too.
Yes.
Mundu in the chat room asked if you can ask a basic question as a non-U.S. person. And that question is, what is Geo Woodstock?
Geo Woodstock, in my when people ask me this, I explain it as a very large meet and greet. There's more to it than that, but that's what it is to a lot of people, an opportunity to meet other people. And it is the biggest one in the world. And we will be having seminars, educational seminars. We will be having activities going on. But a lot of what is happens there is people get to meet somebody else, maybe someone they've met on a chat room or a forum, and all they know is their caching name, and they've never met them physically, but they both will be coming to this one event. They can meet up there and actually meet face-to-face.
What do attendees need to know about registration, and how will they go about registering?
Registration is open on our website. So you can, once you log into the website and create your user ID, you can go ahead and register for the event. There are different levels for our registration, and you can take care of all of that and pay online, and your registration then will be paid for, and you pick up everything at the event.
And can you talk at all about the registration levels?
Yes, the registration levels that we have is we chose to use icons of the area, and we have our we have a free registration. So anybody who wants to come and chooses not to pay, they are more than welcome. They can come and enjoy the seminars and the activities that we have going on, and we would love to see them. We have at for $10, it is our GUI Duck registration, and for that you get a lunch and your name badge. And then we have our Dungeness Crab registration, which is $20, and with that you will get the your name tag and your lanyard and your meal ticket, but you also will get one of our Geo Woodstock 8 t-shirts. For the next level, which is the Chinook Salmon, and that's at $30. And with that, you would get everything that you got in the Dungeness Crab. In addition to that, you will get the Geo Woodstock 8 Geo Coin. And then we have our Orca level, which is $40, which you would get everything you got in the Chinook Salmon registration level, as well as you are donating an additional $10 to help offset the cost for this event. And then our top level is called a Bald Eagle, and that is $1,500 per couple. And with that, you get everything that the orcas get, plus you will get special VIP access and parking. You'll get special recognition at the ceremony, and you'll get a collectible keepsake that is top secret at this point. And if you want special assistance throughout the day, we will have special people there just for you.
Now, Cachemaniacs is actually signed on as a sponsor of the event, but could you tell our listeners about sponsorship and vendor opportunities?
Yes. We have vendor opportunities for anybody that would like to be a vendor, and that is for at a fee of $200, and you get a 10 by 10 piece of grass. And we then, if you want chairs and tables and pop-up canopies, that's all at an additional fee, but that's all negotiable. For our sponsors, we have multiple levels. Our first level is at $300, and you will get special recognition on the website for that, and that's our Friends of Geo Woodstock. At bronze level, that's $750. You get a graphic web link on our website, as well as you would get a booth on Saturday at a vending booth if you wish to have that. The silver level, which is $1,300, you get the a logo on our t-shirt, but 2 square inch in size. You get the graphic link on the website, and then you also get the booth on Saturday if you desire. Our gold level is $2,800, and you get the logo on the T-shirt. This one now moves up to 4 square inches. The graphic link on the website. You now get 2 booths on Saturday, 2 10x10 booths. And on Friday at our meet and greet, you could have a booth if you so choose to have that. Our next level would be at a platinum level. That's at $5,000. And you get the logo on the T-shirt. Now you've moved up to a 6 square inch logo. The link on the website, 2 booths on Saturday, 2 booths on Friday, as well as we will put your advertisement on our website in a rotating banner. And our top level is at a $10,000 level. And for that, you get 2-color logo on a T-shirt at a 6 square inch size. The graphic link on the website, you can have 3 booths on Saturday, 3 booths on Friday. You get the rotating banner on the website advertising. You can have printed advertisement in the brochures that we put out, and you will be named as the main sponsor for Geo Woodstock, as well as our undying love and gratitude.
Now, one of the people in the chat room, Paul KF400X, asks, is the Groundspeak headquarters going to be open for Geo Woodstock 8?
We are in contact with Groundspeak in making sure that we can, trying to help make that happen. That is up to Groundspeak. And at this point, I can't make any commitments to that at all.
Paul KF400X also asked if there are any plans for organized cache runs.
We will have some organized cache runs. We are working with local cachers here to help us create some of those. Though at this point, it is too early for us to be publicizing any of that piece of information, but we are working with local cachers here to do that.
Now, Network Cacher in the chat room adds, having the Geo Woodstock 8 website up so quickly was a huge improvement, as the Geo Woodstock 6 set the bar pretty high. Network Cacher also wants to know about Wi-Fi availability at Geo Woodstock 8. Is there going to be Wi-Fi there?
At this moment in time, I would have to say no. I am working with a local company here to see if they can bring that out, but at the location that we have, there is no Wi-Fi right now. I will know more after the first of the year, because that is when I've been asked to get back in contact with the local company again, because they're thinking that their technology will be improving between now and then.
Well, I think we're wrapping up here. Hopefully we have some more questions coming from the chat room. But is there anything that you think we should know about Geo Woodstock 8?
I know that we are working very hard to make this the I don't want to say the best that it that has ever happened, but the best that it can be. And the team that I have working with me are all very enthusiastic and excited about having people come here to visit our state and to visit our region, not just the Seattle area, but Portland and going up into Canada. And I know that all of the areas locally here, including Portland and Canada, are all very excited about having everyone come here and visit their areas also. So we're just excited.
Well, I'd like to thank you for being on the show. I know it's one of the things that I would like to make it out there. Hopefully, me and my family can make it out there. And I know, Daryl, are you guys planning to be out there?
We've already registered. We're just trying to figure out how to make it there.
Yeah, and that's one of the basically the same things for us. It's I know seeing in Washington, it's something that I definitely wanted to get to, you know, doing the trifecta and things like that. So thank you again for being on our show. And if they've got a question, is there a way to contact you or any of the other cows for their questions?
They can send questions to our email address, which is cows.cows.net@gmail.com.
Well, thank you. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail line, which is 206-350-3GPS, anytime and leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and keep on caching.